possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you until 10 o'clock. I gotta ask you, Matt Pajeski, did something happen yesterday? Was there? I feel like something happened, but I just don't know what it is.
I don't know either. Nothing that I can remember.
Nothing. Okay, no. Nothing. the reason why I mentioned that is I don't really want to spend the whole 2 hours talking about the election yesterday because, frankly, haven't we had enough? I've got lots of other things to talk about, but you know, when I'm on At Your Service, I like to hear from you. So if you've got some analysis, if you've got some thoughts, feelings, epiphanies, complaints, suggestions, ideas, etc., that you would like to share about the election, obviously, as long as we're not in an interview this evening, I would like to hear from you. 314-436-7900. But there's other things to talk about, and I will bring up a little bit of analysis tonight as the show unfolds. But the show's not going to be 2 hours talking about the election, I promise you that, because there is so much that's going on in this world that doesn't involve a D or an R. So we will endeavor to find interesting data to mine this evening, and I will bring that to you. What is also interesting is Lou Ferrigno. I don't know if you know Lou Ferrigno. You should. He played the Incredible Hulk on TV. And today I went and I listened to the opening sequence of the Incredible Hulk. Now, if you watch the show, I was a kid when this was on.
Strengths that all humans have. Then an accidental overdose of gamma radiation alters his body chemistry.
And this is the part where, you know, the Bruce Banner or David Banner in the show, his eyes get green, the contact lenses come, and then we see Lou Ferrigno. That's how this works. And
the creature is driven by rage and pursued by an investigative report.
Driven by rage. So that show was great, and we had no idea. Of course, the special effects were awful, but the show was great, and you knew it was just a dude with green makeup on. Okay, you knew that there was no special effects. It was Lou Ferrigno, but my goodness, Lou Ferrigno was a big dude, and you kind of bought into the idea that he was the Incredible Hulk. Well, he's 71 years old today. Lou Ferrigno, 71. And he is still, I saw him recently, he was at a cameo in something. He works out every day. He could still snap my head without even thinking about it. He is just a big dude. But hey, before we get too far into the show, Ed called in, has one political question. That's fine, Ed. What's on your mind this evening?
Yeah, one quick one on politics and another on economics. And I think one of the important effects of this election is that the Republicans were not able to capture what is truly the most important position in this region, and that is county executive. And they just seem to be absolutely unable to take that spot.
Well, I agree with you, Ed, but let me flip the question around for you and ask you why. Because I've been a loud and vocal opponent of Sam Page ever since he became county executive. Has nothing to do with politics in terms of being a Republican or a Democrat. Yes. It has everything to do with mismanagement, chaos, lack of transparency, and hiding of illegal activity. And none of that has anything to do with a person's ideological beliefs. But why is it? Who do you know anyone who went to the polls going, darn it, I just love Sam Page, and I can't wait to vote for the guy? Do you know anyone who did that?
No, the flip side of that is that Montevani had no issues. He absolutely did not nail specifics on any issues. He talked the same generalities, the same. And there were issues other than, you know, the two or three tops on which he could have tallied some votes.
Well, and I wish he would have. I mean, I voted Democrat in the primary so I could vote for Jane Duker, because to me, a county executive isn't so much a Republican or a Democrat in many instances, but I just wanted a government that didn't have chaos. And right now we have chaos, and I just don't know who was excited to vote for Sam Page. I've asked, and to this day, I've not found anyone who could tell me, oh, I just love Sam Page, he's doing a great job. And so I wonder, Ed, did people just vote, they went into the ballot box and said, oh, it's a Democrat, that's who I'm voting for? Is that really what happened last night?
It happened combined with the fact that Mark did not lay some issues on, for example, the economic situation of the county is very, very dire.
It is
extremely dire. And it's gonna multiply year after year, and that is not being attended to by either party.
No, and now we've got Sam Page, who feels like he's emboldened to be on for another 4 years, and we're just gonna have another 4 years of chaos, of economic stagnation, of infighting with the county council. And listen, there's gonna be more infighting than an episode of The Kardashians. And so
I've experienced some of those. They're no fun. And may I submit the non-political comment?
Please do, but we're coming up on a hard break, so make it fast.
All right, real quick. The settlement money should go to pay off all public debt, and taxpayers should never have to be hit with another nickel of NFL, Rams, or whoever obligation.
Wow. Excellent. Well said, Ed. Hey, thanks for calling in. And you talked about economic issues from the election in a broader sense. I want to make sure you stick around, because at 9:15 this evening, we're going to be talking to a financial expert about how the markets react when we have divided governments. So thanks for listening to KMOX, and appreciate you calling in. Hey, well, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, friend of the show and radio legend, Johnny Rabbit, he's going to be joining us to take us back to, this is not even a debate, back to St. Louis's coolest night spot, Gaslight Square. We're going to talk about that, among other things, with radio legend Johnny Rabbit, coming up next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Was the coolest place in St. Louis, I think, ever. It was a famous entertainment district here that flourished. I think it was from the early 50s to the mid 1960s. Now that was before my time completely, but I've always been fascinated with Gaslight Square because of all the celebrities who found fame and fortune after working there. And joining us this evening to help explore the glory of Gaslight Square, among other things, is our very own radio legend, Johnny Rabbit. Hey, Johnny, great to talk to you again, my friend.
Hi, Brad. Thank you. It's a very nice comment. I appreciate it very much. Hey, it would be fun to go to Gaslight Square on a night like tonight. It would be, let's say, 1962. Oh, my goodness. Would that place be jumping? If you go down to that area today, not much going on. There are some very nice single-family residences there today. And there's a plaque that it's, and I think it's a stone engraving, really, at the west end, right at Boyle and Olive in the southwest corner, that has a lot of things, names and places, and it's worth looking at sometime, about Gaslight Square, some of the performers who play there. For example, a couple who just passed away a week ago, Dave Venn, a terrific pianist, and also Jeannie Trevor, wonderful singer, and both of them just played Gaslight Square like crazy, as so many musicians did. It was a place for, it wasn't just a place like for bars or restaurants. It everything had a music theme to it. It was very different than anything else.
Well, I have to slip this in here before we jump into this any further, Johnny, and that's that my wife used to do the advertising for Shop and Save for 15 years. And so she always hired Marty Bronson to do the commercials.
Right.
And, of course, Marty Bronson had a place in Gaslight Square, didn't he?
Yeah, well, Marty's, it was Marty's and Gaslight Square. That was the just the full name of it at that time. Later on, he moved over to the Chase Park Plaza, and it was Marty's make-believe ballroom. But on the square, it was one of these places where it was a singer's club. Mm-hmm. This is where you would go to hear sometimes very good amateurs just, you know, sitting at the bar or sitting at the table and then chiming in with songs, show tunes, that type of thing. And, of course, Marty was a very, very successful radio, television personality. He made records. He's no longer living, unfortunately. He did a lot of work on TV and on radio, but a lot of people do remember him from that club in Gaslight Square, and it was the only club of its type. Many of the places down there had a sort of a Dixieland to ragtime theme, but his was definitely unique, a singer's paradise.
Hmm. And were there really gas street lamps there?
Oh, there were. Oh, incidentally, I got to mention, Bo Matthews, one of our associates at KMOX, actually used to do some of the Shop and Save commercials. He played the role of the watermelon.
Yes, he did. And my wife hired him.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, he was the voice of the watermelon. Yeah, and he did a fantastic job. But there really were gas street lamps at Gaslight Square.
Well, not in the beginning of, I mean, years and years ago, going back into the 20s, there were gas lights there, but they were replaced by the various types of city lights, a typical thing that you would see in a commercial street. But then as things got going, they, being the Gaslight Square Association, made arrangements with Laclede Gas to provide them with these antique gas street lights. Now, they had to pay their gas bill. And the gas bill for the lights went to, if there was a light in front of your business, let's say you were Jack and Charlie Carl's Two Cents Plain, the great meeting spot there, the delicatessen at Olive and Washington Way in the north side of the street. He had a gas light in front of there, but he would get the bill for the gas to operate the gas light. And actually, toward the end of Gaslight Square, all the lights went off because either places were closed or nobody wanted to pay the bill. Those lights went in 1962. They weren't there before. But Gaslight Square really goes back to the start of around 1953. It started as the Gaslight Bar. So there were other bars and places in the immediate area. There was one just a little east of Gaslight Square before the square started, called a Prize Ring Bar. And the dance floor looked like a ring and a for boxing. It had ropes all around the side so people would get in there. And that was the kind of it wasn't a gaslight place, but it was kind of the thing that would probably happen at Gaslight, because a lot of the bars did have unusual themes, cocktail lounges. Of course, you mentioned the performers, the singers, the people that became well-known, like Woody Allen. Woody Allen would play the Crystal Palace. And
Lenny Bruce. Landis. Lenny Bruce did perform
Lenny
there.
Bruce, well, he did, but he didn't come back.
No.
Lenny was a little, even a little too much for Gaslight Square.
Yes,
where a lot of things did.
But Phyllis Diller?
Phyllis Diller, yes, she was there at the Crystal Palace. The Smothers Brothers were there. Barbara Streisand. I knew Barbara Streisand was just a kid at that time and had absolutely no money. She had to put her bill in the cuff over at Jack and Charlie Carl's Delicatessen. And Mary Strauss of Fox Theater of fame used to befriend her. She lived in the area. Actually, at the time, Mary was a belly dancer at the Crystal Palace Annex. And they used to take the streetcar downtown, the Olive streetcar, down to the basement of Scruggs, Vanderford, and Barney to buy clothes for Barbara Streisand.
How funny. Now, we're talking to radio legend Johnny Rabbit. And don't you have a presentation coming up next week talking about Gaslight Square?
You're right. It's at 10 o'clock next Monday. Monday the 14th, it's for Oasis, and it's going to be at the center of Clayton. And I will present a program on the whole thing, the birth, the life, the death, the Gaslight Square. You know, a lot of people say, okay, what happened to it? It was so big. Actually, it really came to an end just about 50 years ago, really 1973, and it was over after that. But like the 1904 World's Fair, people are really interested in this nostalgia. Now, if you want to come to this event, it's an hour-long program, starts at 10 in the morning, the center of Clayton, in Clayton, for Oasis. I don't even know how many pictures I'll show, dozens and dozens of pictures and stories. Here's how to get in on it, and people can call this number right now if they want. And I think if they mention KMOX, if I'm not mistaken, they'll get a discount. But if you want to call, make a reservation tonight or tomorrow or whenever. It's area code 314-862-4859. 862-4859, extension 24. So I think people will really enjoy going back in time to these places that it seemed like they were going to be permanent. But, it's terrible that it is all gone. And the memories, of course, are fading.
Yes, they are. But this is a way to revive and to enjoy those memories. If folks live through that time, or if they're curious about a time when there was a part of St. Louis that was unique, it was cool, it was happening, it was stylish, make sure that you check this out next Monday. And Johnny, I wrote down the number, 314-862-4859, extension 24, if folks want tickets to this Gaslight Square presentation next Monday.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. We will talk about the places. There are so many more that we can mention, like George Edick's Roaring Twenties, which was sort of a speakeasy theme. Or there was the Bella Rosa, an Italian restaurant, the Grecian Terrace. The list just goes on and on. Actually, over the period of time it was there, there were probably about 75 places at Gaslight Square.
And Johnny, you're a guy that's busier than Walmart on Black Friday, because you also have an event coming up next week called Front Row. What's that?
Oh, the Front Row. That's the day after this one. It's Tuesday, next Tuesday, the 15th. That's at 11 in the morning. I will be presenting. This is a free program about theaters and theater in St. Louis at the Missouri History Museum's Lee Auditorium. Now, the doors to the theater will open at 10:30, and we have Vincent and Kitty from Fanfare that are going to be singing right before we start talking at 11. A lot of our town's theatrical history. I'm going to show a lot of pictures of some of them about advertising from old movie theaters. Margaret Stevens is going to tell about saving the Ozark Theater. Laura Peters, the archivist of the Muni, will have a historic review of the Muni. The famous architect John Gunther is going to talk about the Fox Theater and another theater little known in Illinois. Ed Wheatley is also going to give us a different kind of theater as we look at the big book he had, the documentary, Wrestling at the Chase. We'll have Mr. Movie Stockman, who's going to have a program on movies that were made in or about St. Louis. It's like a big vaudeville show at the Orpheum Theater.
And that's next Tuesday, right?
Next Tuesday, yes. Doors open at 10:30. The show's from 11 to about 12:10.
And that's at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park.
Yep, in the Lee Auditorium.
Very good. Hey, Johnny Rabbit, you are the jewel of St. Louis radio. Thanks for joining us this evening, and I'm looking forward to both of these. If I can't make both of them, I'll pick one of them. But these are excellent programs, and thank you for enriching our community by remembering and reminding us of our rich history here in St. Louis.
Red, thank you. Thank you very much for all those kind words and having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's great to talk to you. And, of course, Johnny Rabbit joins us on the Quiver River guest line. Johnny, talk to you soon, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure. And coming up after the break, I mentioned that I do want to provide some analysis of the election. But really, I want to hear from you, because we've been in this perpetual election for, it seems like, 2 years. And what do you think about the outcome? Do you accept the results of the election? Was this a referendum on President Biden? Was it a referendum on President Trump? What are your thoughts? 314-436-7900. Call or text here on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Talking to Johnny Rabbit is so cool, because he is a radio legend. And if you want to talk about anything that's ever happened in St. Louis, you can talk about the World's Fair, for goodness sakes. And he's an expert on it. He is a treasure trove of knowledge. And I'm glad that he could take time out of his schedule to be with us here this evening. One of the things that's funny, and I didn't mention this with Johnny, but Lenny Bruce is someone that he was dead before I was born, or maybe I was a small child when he died. But he is a comedian who's famous in American comedic history because he was so pushing the envelope for speech, for using words you're not supposed to use, for discussing and laughing at situational humor about topics that you couldn't talk about on television. And it's what I find is interesting is there's a show, and many of you may have seen this. It's a show on Amazon Prime. It's called The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, and it takes place in the 50s and early 60s. And Lenny Bruce is one of the main characters in that show. And what I found interesting is that show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is very popular among the 20, 30 age group, 40 age group. And these are folks who never knew Lenny Bruce. These are folks who never experienced Lenny Bruce's humor. Now, I'll tell you, some of the things he joked about, I don't find funny. It goes too far. But you cannot deny that he was a comedic legend and a groundbreaker. If it wasn't for Lenny Bruce, you never would have had George Carlin. If it wasn't for George Carlin, you never would have had Richard Pryor. And if you hadn't had Richard Pryor, you wouldn't have Kevin Hart. I mean, you see how these comedians move and build upon each other. And Lenny Bruce was really the guy that started it. I mean, before him, it was clean-cut guys like Dick Van Dyke, you know, telling jokes in a suit. And then Lenny Bruce comes up and he gets arrested for smoking weed. He gets arrested for doing drugs. He's talking about topics that if I talked about right now, the FCC would be ringing my phone. But he was just a groundbreaker in terms of a comedian. And again, I didn't appreciate sometimes the tone of his humor, but I had to recognize how groundbreaking he was as a comic. And folks are kind of rediscovering Lenny Bruce because of that show, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So I'm glad, again, that Johnny Rabbit could take time to be with us this evening. Last night, I was over on our sister station, 97.1, with Mark Reardon and John Lamping and Mark Cox doing election night coverage. And of course, if you were listening here on Camo X, you heard fantastic coverage with Michael Calhoun and Sean Michael Lyle and Maria Kina, among others, Hancock and Kelly. But one of the things that really caught my attention as the evening unfolded last night, and I'm not going to necessarily go through and talk about specific races because I'm more of a 30,000 foot kind of guy. But one of the things that really struck me last night, and I brought it up on the air, and when I got home from the studio, I talked about it with my wife, and it wasn't until today that I saw others recognizing this same pattern. And that is that candidates who were endorsed and promoted by Donald Trump, by and large, lost last night. Of course, J.D. Vance is an exception to that. But also Ted Budd, I believe, in North Carolina is an exception. But pretty much the other candidates, whether it's Kerry Lake or Dr. Oz or Herschel Walker, didn't win. He may still win, but he hasn't won yet. But the candidates that he promoted, by and large, lost. And so when I got home and my wife said, well, that red wave didn't materialize, I said, well, you know, there is a silver lining to this. And we're seeing this talked about today, and I think we'll see it talked about in the coming days, is that up to this point, even if Republicans disagreed with President Trump, and I've been very vocal. I've never been a huge fan of President Trump. I didn't vote for him. I liked a lot of the things that he did in office when it came to Supreme Court nominees, reducing regulations, cutting taxes, spurring the economy. I mean, those things I did like, but from his character, from his cult of personality, from his meanness and demeanor, a lot of those things I just didn't like. But Republicans today, at least up until yesterday, if you disagreed with President Trump, you had to kind of keep it a secret. You couldn't be public about it. But not only did candidates who were supported and endorsed by President Trump do poorly last night, but you saw candidates like Brian Kemp in Georgia who were outwardly hostile towards President Trump, and they did very well. They did extremely well. So I think what we've seen last night is this emergence within the Republican Party of the freedom to say Donald Trump is a populist. He's not necessarily, certainly not a conservative, and he's not necessarily even a Republican. And as I was pouring through some of the data this morning about some of the races and the projections were far rosier for Republicans than what turned out to be true, which is different than polling that we've seen in the last several election cycles, where the polling data typically underrepresented Republicans. And in this election, it overrepresented Republicans. And I was trying to look and glean why that is. Again, from the 30,000-foot perspective. And what jumped out at me was this. Even though independents voted overwhelmingly against President Biden and against Democrats in the election yesterday, and Hispanics came out in droves. I mean, look at Florida. I think DeSantis won every county except for one in Florida. So Florida's a red state, and it's amazing to see that transformation. And Mary Lynn has texted in. Mary Lynn, great. I'm glad you're listening here this evening. But what you've seen is that with Kemp is now the freedom to say, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm still going to run for office. And he won, and he won handedly. You saw Greg Abbott do very well in Texas, and he's not necessarily a big-time Trump supporter. And the list goes on and on. So what you're seeing here, and I'm trying to give you an insight into where I think we're going over the next 2 years or so, is that candidates will have the freedom to say, you know what, I'm not an election denier.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Talking to Johnny Rabbit is so cool because he is a radio legend. And if you want to talk about anything that's ever happened in St. Louis, you can talk about the World's Fair, for goodness sakes. And he's an expert on it. He is a treasure trove of knowledge. And I'm glad that he could take time out of his schedule to be with us here this evening. One of the things that's funny, and I didn't mention this with Johnny, but Lenny Bruce is someone that he was dead before I was born, or maybe I was a small child when he died. But he is a comedian who's famous in American comedic history. Because he was so pushing the envelope for speech, for using words you're not supposed to use, for discussing and laughing at situational humor about topics that you couldn't talk about on television. And it's what I find is interesting is there's a show, and many of you may have seen this. It's a show on Amazon Prime. It's called The Marvelous Ms. Maisel, and it takes place in the 50s and early 60s. And Lenny Bruce is one of the main characters in that show. And what I found interesting is that show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is very popular among the 20, 30 age group, 40 age group. And these are folks who never knew Lenny Bruce. These are folks who never experienced Lenny Bruce's humor. Now, I'll tell you, some of the things he joked about, I don't find funny. It goes too far. But you cannot deny that he was a comedic legend and a groundbreaker. If it wasn't for Lenny Bruce, you never would have had George Carlin. If it wasn't for George Carlin, you never would have had Richard Pryor. And if you hadn't had Richard Pryor, you wouldn't have Kevin Hart. I mean, you see how these comedians move and build upon each other. And Lenny Bruce was really the guy that started it. I mean, before him, it was clean-cut guys like Dick Van Dyke, you know, telling jokes in a suit. And then Lenny Bruce comes up and he gets arrested for smoking weed. He gets arrested for doing drugs. He's talking about topics that if I talked about right now, the FCC would be ringing my phone. But he was just a groundbreaker in terms of a comedian. And again, I didn't appreciate sometimes the tone of his humor, but I had to recognize how groundbreaking he was as a comic. And folks are kind of rediscovering Lenny Bruce because of that show, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So I'm glad, again, that Johnny Rabbit could take time to be with us this evening. Last night, I was over on our sister station, 97.1, with Mark Reardon and John Lamping and Mark Cox doing election night coverage. And of course, if you were listening here on Camo X, you heard fantastic coverage with Michael Calhoun and Sean Michael Lyle and Maria Kina, among others, Hancock and Kelly. But one of the things that really caught my attention as the evening unfolded last night, and I'm not going to necessarily go through and talk about specific races because I'm more of a 30,000 foot kind of guy. But one of the things that really struck me last night, and I brought it up on the air, and when I got home from the studio, I talked about it with my wife, and it wasn't until today that I saw others recognizing this same pattern. And that is that candidates who were endorsed and promoted by Donald Trump, by and large, lost last night. Of course, J.D. Vance is an exception to that. But also Ted Budd, I believe, in North Carolina is an exception. But pretty much the other candidates, whether it's Carrie Lake or Dr. Oz or Herschel Walker, didn't win. He may still win, but he hasn't won yet. But the candidates that he promoted, by and large, lost. And so when I got home and my wife said, well, that red wave didn't materialize, I said, well, you know, there is a silver lining to this. And we're seeing this talked about today, and I think we'll see it talked about in the coming days, is that up to this point, even if Republicans disagreed with President Trump, and I've been very vocal. I've never been a huge fan of President Trump. I didn't vote for him. I liked a lot of the things that he did in office when it came to Supreme Court nominees, reducing regulations, cutting taxes, spurring the economy. I mean, those things I did like, but from his character, from his cult of personality, from his meanness and demeanor, a lot of those things I just didn't like. But Republicans today, at least up until yesterday, if you disagreed with President Trump, you had to kind of keep it a secret. You couldn't be public about it. But not only did candidates who were supported and endorsed by President Trump do poorly last night, but you saw candidates like Brian Kemp in Georgia who were outwardly hostile towards President Trump, and they did very well. They did extremely well. So I think what we've seen last night is this emergence within the Republican Party of the freedom to say Donald Trump is a populist. He's not necessarily, certainly not a conservative, and he's not necessarily even a Republican. And as I was pouring through some of the data this morning about some of the races and the projections were far rosier for Republicans than what turned out to be true, which is different than polling that we've seen in the last several election cycles, where the polling data typically underrepresented Republicans. And in this election, it overrepresented Republicans. And I was trying to look and glean why that is, again, from the 30,000-foot perspective. And what jumped out at me was this. Even though independents voted overwhelmingly against President Biden and against Democrats in the election yesterday, and Hispanics came out in droves. I mean, look at Florida. I think DeSantis won every county except for one in Florida. So Florida's a red state, and it's amazing to see that transformation. And Mary Lynn has texted in. Mary Lynn, great. I'm glad you're listening here this evening. But what you've seen is that with Kemp is now the freedom to say, I'm not a Trump supporter, but I'm still going to run for office. And he won, and he won handedly. You saw Greg Abbott do very well in Texas. And he's not necessarily a big-time Trump supporter. And the list goes on and on. So what you're seeing here, and I'm trying to give you an insight into where I think we're going over the next 2 years or so, is that candidates will have the freedom to say, you know what, I'm not an election denier. And personally, from my perspective, I think there's fraud in every election, and I can give you lots of examples of it. But I still, to this day, have not seen any fraud that would have changed the outcome of the election in 2020. So from that perspective, you've got Carrie Lake, who said she's an election denier, said 2020 was stolen. She's already kind of hinted that 2022 may have been stolen, which is why she's doing poorly in Arizona. But you're going to see the Republicans who are running for office have the freedom to say, I'm going to distance myself from Donald Trump, and it's not going to be the kiss of death. Now, just because you distance yourself from Donald Trump doesn't mean that you go full-blown Liz Cheney, okay? I don't necessarily think that's necessary, because to this day, I still don't believe that it was an insurrection. It was a riot, because you just can't overthrow the United States government when you're only armed with a dude with a Viking helmet, okay? That you can't overthrow the government with a Viking helmet. But you're going to see Republican candidates now having that freedom to say, I'm going to distance myself from Trump. I'm going to run on traditional conservative values. I'm not going to run as a populist. I'm not going to run as someone who thrives on chaos, at least from the Republican standpoint. And I got to tell you, I'm very glad that that's happening, because listen, Donald Trump's got more baggage than the hold on a 747. Okay. And when he runs, when he enters the room, it completely eliminates any conversation because people have such a visceral response to him. So even if you want to look at how do we achieve systemic change in this country, you can't do it with someone who automatically angers 60% of the audience just by their mere presence. You can't do that. You simply cannot do that. My leadership style in every area of my life is one of coalition building, one of consensus building. That's the most proven way to affect change, not being a bomb thrower. So that's why I've disagreed with President Trump's style. But if you look at Dr. Oz, if you look at Walker, if you look at Carrie Lake, if you look at Blake Masters, the list goes on. These candidates were handpicked by Trump and they all lost or are in the process of losing, or with Herschel Walker, at least didn't win. And because of Don Bolduc, I believe, in New Hampshire is another good example. And yet you have others who are doing very well. So my hope is that as we move beyond it, I hope that Donald Trump does not run for president. His narcissistic ego, I think, demands that he will. But my hope is that he doesn't. And so with him out, we can have an honest discussion of issues. I mean, that's what I like about here on At Your Service. You call up, you tell me your ideas. I don't cut you off because you say, hey, listen, I'm a Bernie Sanders fan. Click. I'm not going to do that. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to discuss it in the marketplace of ideas. And yet with Trump, that becomes impossible because of his nature. So I'm hoping that we can move beyond Donald Trump and establish a Republican Party that's based on limited federal government, fiscal responsibility, improving economic conditions, fighting inflation, controlling the national debt, strong military. Those are the kind of things that we can unite around, not just a cult of personality in one human being. What are your thoughts? What were you looking to see? What were you surprised that you did not see? What is some of your analysis? I've got several texts coming in here on the text line. That's great. Or you can give us a call at 314-436-7900. More coming up on At Your Service right after this. That we had come in. One person texted in saying Carrie Lake's going to win when the votes are counted. I hope she does, because she's better than the person that she's running against. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Most of the mail-in ballots are the ones that are being counted now. We'll have to see. Carrie Lake is a little behind, and I don't know that you're going to make up that much of a difference with the mail-in ballots, but I hope she does win, but it's going to take several days. Jerry's been holding through the break. Hey, Jerry, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, thank you. I call with a comment about why we keep calling him Trump, the President Trump, when he's really ex-president or former president. It makes it sound like he's still in office, and that's a big mistake, because in his head, he still is.
Well, of course he is. I mean, that's why he had all those documents at Mar-a-Lago, because he thought he was still president. But he still has the title of president, just like when Obama was introduced at every rally, it's President Obama. When President Bush is on television, he's introduced as President Bush. That's a title. And I don't have any problem calling him that as a title, because, listen, they earned it. That's a small club that they have joined by being the president. And that's a title they get to keep for life.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm wrong. I just assume we should start calling him former President Trump.
Well, that's a title. You're technically right in terms of their office, but the title they do get to keep. Listen, they get a pension for life as being president. Once you become president, the salary that you get into perpetuity until you die. So if you're getting the salary of the president, I think you get the title.
Okay.
All right, Jerry. But hey, thanks for calling in, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Larry was texting in this evening. And Larry was texting something about Houston. And I think what he's trying to tell me, if I'm reading between the lines and reading the tea leaves here, is that he's very proud of the fact that he called that the Houston Astros would win the World Series. So, Larry, if that's your point, congratulations. Hopefully you bet money on that. And if you did, don't forget your good buddy Brad. there's another aspect of the election. Again, I like to talk strategy, ideas, not personalities, not just the who won and by how much, but looking at the ideas to me are far more interesting. And one of the tactics that the Democrats used this election very successfully is this tactic of funding your opposition, the worst of the opposition, funding them so they get the nomination in the primary so that you face a weaker candidate when it comes to the general election. That is a true Sun Tzu kind of move there. It's a jujitsu move where you're paying money to your opposition in order to run against them in the general election. One of the times, I think the best example that we saw here locally was when Claire McCaskill did that with Todd Akin. Todd Akin was clearly the weakest of any of the candidates who were running against her for the Senate in the Republican primary. And her campaign funded ads promoting Todd Akin. And by doing so, Todd Akin got the nomination, and then it was a cakewalk for Claire McCaskill to beat Todd Akin. We saw this replicated time and time and time again in this election cycle. We saw it over in Illinois, where Governor Pritzker and the Democrats in Illinois helped fund Darren Bailey in the primary because he was clearly the weakest of the candidates. They promoted him on TV ads. They promoted him with direct mail ads. he got the nomination. And once the weakest candidate got the nomination, it was then easy to defeat him. We saw that in New Hampshire. General Baldock, he was a better candidate than Darren Bailey. But he was an election denier, and he was so closely associated with Trump that at that point it made it easy for Hassan in New Hampshire to defeat. She was very vulnerable in New Hampshire. Very. It would have been amazing to have a Republican senator from New Hampshire. But they Todd Akin the competition. I don't know if you could use Todd Akin's name as a verb. I've just made it into a verb. But that's what they did. And we saw that, certainly saw that in Arizona. We certainly saw that in Pennsylvania because with Dr. Oz. I've been, as someone in my day job, I spend all day long reading medical records and deposing doctors. That's basically what I do. And whenever I saw for years the kind of quackery that Dr. Oz would promote on television, it bothered me because he would promote quackery. And it wasn't science. It wasn't tested. It wasn't effective. I'm sure some of it was, but some of it wasn't, that I had a hard time. Even though the guy's intelligent, he comes across very well, he should have made a good candidate, but it made it hard for me to look at him as a legitimate candidate because of his background on television promoting quackery, promoting less than valid medical ideas. But the Democrats helped promote Dr. Oz as well. So to me, I think that is an amazing strategy where you promote the weakest of your opponents. And we saw that on parade last night. We saw it on parade. Now, here's what I'm waiting to see. And then, and again, if you've got some ideas about the election, would love to hear it. 314-436-7900, call or text. The other thing that I'm waiting to hear, just as I look at the election deniers and say, I'm sorry, you're wrong, the election wasn't stolen. I use that same critical analysis when I look at the voter suppression crowd. Because to me, I don't think there's any difference. I don't think there's any difference between the election deniers and the voter suppressionists. They're in my mind, they differ philosophically, but they all suffer from the same logical flaws. So, like for example, you look at the race in the Georgia race with Stacey Abrams. She announced on Monday that if she loses, it's because of voter suppression. And remember, Major League Baseball had to pull out the World Series out of Georgia because of this so-called Jim Crow law that's saying, well, it's going to be voter suppression. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. So we have to pull the World Series out of Atlanta, which would actually have helped minority business owners. And we're going to ship it to Colorado, who already had voting laws more strict than the voting laws enacted in Georgia. And they put the World Series in a place that helped primarily white business owners. It made no sense whatsoever. But I did the research to see, is there any voter suppression going on in the United States? And here's the quick results of my research. That right now in the United States, we have 775,000 election officials in this country. 775,000. In the 2020 election, the FBI had a task force that, and I'm scanning this data here, they had 1,000 complaints of voter suppression from hostile or harassing behavior. And when they investigated those 1,000 complaints, only 11% met the threshold for an investigation. So in other words, 1 out of 10 or 100 out of those 1,000 complaints even warranted an investigation. And out of those 100, do you know how many warranted prosecution for voter suppression? The number is 5. 5 votes. 5 voters according to the Biden Justice Department, could actually demonstrate voter suppression in 2020. Five voters. Now, do we want any voter suppression in this country? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. But that's not the point. Because when Stacey Abrams and others come out and say the only reason they're losing is because of voter suppression, that's a lie. That's a lie that's no different than saying the entire 2020 election was rigged and President Trump won. That's a lie, too. And to me, they're both in the same camp of saying, I want to believe what I believe despite the evidence to the contrary. And Stacey Abrams cannot say that the election was stolen from her when there have only been five prosecuted cases for voter suppression in 2020. It's just simply absurd. And it shows that they're simply using an excuse to justify their loss. Hey, we've got lots of stuff in the next hour. We won't just be talking about the election, but I always like to hear your thoughts. I've got some texts I'll go through in the next hour. Brad Young at your service. Stick around until 10 o'clock on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. That we had come in. One person texted in saying Kari Lake's going to win when the votes are counted. I hope she does because she's better than the person that she's running against. I'm not sure that's going to happen. Most of the mail-in ballots are the ones that are being counted now. We'll have to see. Kari Lake is a little behind, and I don't know that you're going to make up that much of a difference with the mail-in ballots, but I hope she does win, but it's going to take several days. Jerry's been holding through the break. Hey, Jerry, welcome to KMOX.
Hey, thank you. I call with a comment about why we keep calling him Trump, the President Trump, when he's really ex-president or former president. It makes it sound like he's still in office, and that's a big mistake because in his head he still is.
Well, of course he is. I mean, that's why he had all those documents at Mar-a-Lago because he thought he was still president. But he still has the title of president, just like when Obama was introduced at every rally, it's President Obama. When President Bush is on television, he's introduced as President Bush. That's a title. And I don't have any problem calling him that as a title because, listen, they earned it. That's a small club that they have joined by being the president. And that's a title they get to keep for life.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm wrong. I just assume we should start calling him former President Trump.
Well, that's a title. You're technically right in terms of their office, but the title they do get to keep. Listen, they get a pension for life as being president. Once you become president, the salary that you get into perpetuity until you die. So if you're getting the salary of the president, I think you get the title.
Okay.
All right, Jerry. But, hey, thanks for calling in, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Larry was texting in this evening. And Larry was texting something about Houston. And I think what he's trying to tell me, if I'm reading between the lines and reading the tea leaves here, is that he's very proud of the fact that he called that the Houston Astros would win the World Series. So, Larry, if that's your point, congratulations. Hopefully you bet money on that. And if you did, don't forget your good buddy, Brad. there's another aspect of the election. Again, I like to talk strategy, ideas, not personalities, not just the who won and by how much, but looking at the ideas to me are far more interesting. And one of the tactics that the Democrats used this election very successfully is this tactic of funding your opposition, the worst of the opposition, funding them so they get the nomination in the primary so that you face a weaker candidate when it comes to the general election. That is a true Sun Tzu kind of move there. It's a jiu-jitsu move where you're paying money to your opposition in order to run against them in the general election. One of the times, I think the best example that we saw here locally was when Claire McCaskill did that with Todd Akin. Todd Akin was clearly the weakest of any of the candidates who were running against her for the Senate in the Republican primary, and her campaign funded ads promoting Todd Akin. And by doing so, Todd Akin got the nomination And then it was a cakewalk for Claire McCaskill to beat Todd Akin. We saw this replicated time and time and time again in this election cycle. We saw it over in Illinois, where Governor Pritzker and the Democrats in Illinois helped fund Darren Bailey in the primary because he was clearly the weakest of the candidates. They promoted him on TV ads. They promoted him with direct mail ads. He got the nomination. And once the weakest candidate got the nomination, it was then easy to defeat him. We saw that in New Hampshire. General Baldock, he was a better candidate than Darren Bailey. But he was an election denier, and he was so closely associated with Trump that at that point it made it easy for Hassan in New Hampshire to defeat. She was very vulnerable in New Hampshire. Very. It would have been amazing to have a Republican senator from New Hampshire. But they Todd Akin'd the competition. I don't know if you could use Todd Akin's name as a verb. I've just made it into a verb. But that's what they did. And we saw that, certainly saw that in Arizona. We certainly saw that in Pennsylvania because with Dr. Oz. I've been, as someone in my day job, I spend all day long reading medical records and deposing doctors. That's basically what I do. And whenever I saw for years the kind of quackery that Dr. Oz would promote on television, it bothered me because he would promote quackery. And it wasn't science. It wasn't tested. It wasn't effective. I'm sure some of it was, but some of it wasn't. That I had a hard time, even though the guy's intelligent, he comes across very well, he should have made a good candidate, but it made it hard for me to look at him as a legitimate candidate because of his background on television promoting quackery, promoting less than valid medical ideas. But the Democrats helped promote Dr. Oz as well. So to me, I think that is an amazing strategy where you promote the weakest of your opponents. And we saw that on parade last night. We saw it on parade. Now, here's what I'm waiting to see. And then, and again, if you've got some ideas about the election, we'd love to hear it. 314-436-7900, call or text. The other thing that I'm waiting to hear, just as I look at the election deniers and say, I'm sorry, you're wrong, the election wasn't stolen. I use that same critical analysis when I look at the voter suppression crowd. Because to me, I don't think there's any difference. I don't think there's any difference between the election deniers and the voter suppressionists. In my mind, they differ philosophically, but they all suffer from the same logical flaws. So, like for example, you look at the race in the Georgia race with Stacey Abrams. She announced on Monday that if she loses, it's because of voter suppression. And remember, Major League Baseball had to pull out the World Series out of Georgia because of this so-called Jim Crow law that's saying, well, it's going to be voter suppression, it's illegal, it's unconstitutional, so we have to pull the World Series out of Atlanta, which would actually have helped minority business owners, and we're going to ship it to Colorado, who already had voting laws more strict than the voting laws enacted in Georgia, and they put the World Series in a place that helped primarily white business owners. It made no sense whatsoever. But I did the research to see, is there any voter suppression going on in the United States? And here's the quick results of my research. That right now in the United States, we have 775,000 election officials in this country. 775,000. In the 2020 election, the FBI had a task force that, and I'm scanning this data here, they had 1,000 complaints of voter suppression from hostile or harassing behavior. And when they investigated those 1,000 complaints, only 11% met the threshold for an investigation. So in other words, 1 out of 10 or 100 out of those 1,000 complaints even warranted an investigation. And out of those 100, do you know how many warranted prosecution for voter suppression? The number is 5. 5 votes, 5 voters, according to the Biden Justice Department, could actually demonstrate voter suppression in 2020. 5 voters. Now, do we want any voter suppression in this country? Of course we don't. Of course we don't. But that's not the point. Because when Stacey Abrams and others come out and say the only reason they're losing is because of voter suppression, that's a lie. That's a lie that's no different than saying the entire 2020 election was rigged and President Trump won. That's a lie, too. And to me, they're both in the same camp of saying, I want to believe what I believe despite the evidence to the contrary. And Stacey Abrams cannot say that the election was stolen from her when there have only been 5 prosecuted cases for voter suppression in 2020. It's just simply absurd. And it shows that they're simply using an excuse to justify their loss. Hey, we've got lots of stuff in the next hour. We won't just be talking about the election, but I always like to hear your thoughts. I've got some texts I'll go through in the next hour. Brad Young at your service. Stick around until 10 o'clock on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.